From Illinois Soul, this is Dialogue. I'm Tanisha Spain. Dialogue is an exchange about culture, straight from the soul. As you know, you can usually find me hosting Mid-American Gardener, but this week we have a special crossover episode that makes for great dialogue, so I'm popping in to share a powerful story. We're at First Followers Topsoil in Champaign, and what makes this garden so special is it's part of a reentry program for those who have been incarcerated. This place helps feed the community free of charge, and it teaches valuable skills to those who are at risk. And now I'm joined by the executive director of First Followers. This is Mr. Marlon Mitchell. So first of all, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to start all of this.
All right, well, first I'll talk about First Followers. Okay. So First Followers, we created that. I founded it in 2015. So we've been going for about a decade now, got various programs, but essentially it's a reentry program that services those individuals that have been impacted by the criminal justice system. Many of them returning from incarceration. Then we do have folks that just comes around with, that might have some felony background or some criminal activity on their records.
Gotcha. And so what was the idea here? When you founded First Followers, what were you trying to do?
Just provide opportunity by services. I'm formerly incarcerated. I got incarcerated at a young age, and I know when I came back to my community, there were no resources for me to get back on my feet. So just trying to stand in that gap. So over time, you know, I just wanted to give back to my community because I know many of us have been impacted by the criminal justice system, and so just providing that opportunity so everyone can have a fair shot at just becoming the person that they're supposed to be.
So from its beginning, 2015, to now, what sort of programs, what sort of things have you started within the community?
So we do a lot of outreach and advocacy. We also have what we call a drop-in service, a drop-in center where we provide services for individuals that's returning from incarceration where they can just come in, do an assessment, we kind of see where they're at. We try to provide those needs and those resources. Oftentimes we have to make referrals, but many times folks, most of the people that come in, the majority of them are either looking for housing or some sort of employment. So we've been able to build networks of employers and also property owners so that we can refer folks over to them so that they can either get employed or find housing.
Now, thinking back to when you were a youth and you said you had gotten into some trouble, what would services like this, had they been available, how do you think that would have changed you or worked in your favor, or would it have mattered to you?
It would have mattered. There was very little. You know, most times when you come out of incarceration, you have to go through parole, you know, a couple years of parole. And there was very limited resources. You know, they might give you a sheet of paper and say, here, go find your job. And that's essentially about as basic as it was. And through all of that, you know, just going through that experience, because I was on parole for 3 years, I came home, I eventually got enrolled in Parkland College. I got a degree out of Parkland College, and I just kind of went from there.
And having that opportunity and having that experience, did that kind of inspire you to want to make sure that other young men, young women who have been in your shoes would have that same opportunity?
Exactly. Because, you know, coming from the community that I come from, I'm one of seven kids, a single mother. There's very limited resources, and, you know, sometimes as mischievous young adults, we kind of get ourselves in some trouble. And I just noticed that a lot of my friends were also going in and out of jail. It was during this whole era of what we call mass incarceration. And so that was one of the things that, you know, we saw here locally that was really impacting a lot of families around in Champaign County. So just going through my experiences, being able to get back on my feet, I just wanted to give back because I knew that was the right thing to do, and I just didn't want any other families to go through what I was going through.
What's some big wins that you've seen here at First Followers in your tenure?
So one of the things I'm jaded, so I like a lot of education, right? So some of the big wins is that we've had individuals that have come in, may not have a high school diploma, get their high school diploma, get gainfully employed and move on. I've also had folks that have come in and kind of mentored, because we use a mentoring-based model. And what that essentially means, it means that folks that have been incarcerated or impacted by the criminal justice system, we hire them as staff, and they're able to use a mentoring-based model to kind of help those, guide those folks through those challenges up until the point they're stable. So I've had some folks that have gotten their master's degree. Me, myself, I got a PhD while running First Followers, so I'm jaded with education. And another thing, flagship program of ours, we got a transition house. It's an all-males house that we've been running since 2019. We partner with the Housing Authority of Champaign County with the house. They provide the space. We provide the management of the house and the operations of the house. And we just recently in April launched our first women's transition house. So those are some of the big things that we're doing. And like I said, we do a lot of advocacy work, a lot of educational work. As you can see, this is kind of part of First Followers, which we actually started the garden program back in 2017. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a real small garden, an idea, and we kind of grew from there. And we were really inspired by Grace Wilkins, who's a council member over in Urbana. Okay. She came out and she kind of helped us get it all set up. We have some youth and young adults that were participating in our, what we call our GOMAD program, which is essentially a workforce development training program. Mm-hmm. And so she came in, she kind of educated them around gardening, and then we just got the practical side of things. And so we've been running this since 2017.
So for people who may be skeptical, do programs like this work? Do they change people's lives?
They can. One of the things I tell folks that really want to get involved, you know, one of the things I'd say is, hey, look, I can't work any harder than you. That's unfair for you, and it's unfair for me. Mm-hmm. So if you really, really want to make a change, we just try to provide the resources and also the opportunities to do something, mm-hmm. right? We also meet people where they are, and we kind of just kind of brainstorm, what are you looking for? What are you good at? What are some experiences that you've had that mm-hmm. you might can build on in a positive way? And so we kind of guide them into those arenas that they're looking to get into.
Okay. Now, with regard specifically to the garden, what have you seen with some of the youth or some of the volunteers that come out here? Because, you know, gardening's not for everybody. So have you seen people who've come out here with, you know, not wanting to get involved in the beginning, and then by the end of it, they're into it? Or, like, have you just seen people kind of change as they've worked in the garden?
So there's a range. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, it's not for everybody. But it's one of those things that I like to see. It's kind of therapeutic, right? Because you can come out, be one with nature, and then you're also mm-hmm. learning different things. Mm-hmm. Pierre, who actually runs the garden, he came through our transition house. Mm-hmm. And so when he came through our transition house, he was living there. And then, you know, when the weather had broke, he had told me that he had some experience with horticulture when he was incarcerated. So we introduced him to the garden, and this was always something that we wanted to do, was kind of build out, mm-hmm. right? Because it wasn't for everybody, because, you know, you have folks come in, they come, they go. But Pierre has really grabbed it by the reins, and he's really grown it. Mm-hmm. And he's really, really recruited a lot of other folks to come in, because he has a knack for it. He's mm-hmm. very enthusiastic about what he does. He loves what he does. And sometimes I have to kind of rein him in, because he has these big, big ideas. But it's all great, because eventually we're going to get there. Mm-hmm. For example, a couple weeks ago, we met with Sola Gracia, mm-hmm. and they're going to donate us a 30 by 30 plot where we can come out and just expand, you know, what we do here at Louisiana. But we're just looking to just keep growing this thing.
Wonderful. And what is it about gardening that you think you could learn? What can you learn from gardening? What can anybody learn from gardening?
Well, healthy living, right? Healthy living is one. Also, cost savings is another. You know, mm-hmm. inflation, things are skyrocketing out of control. But it also just gives you a sense of purpose when you talk about taking something from start to seeing it finished, right? From the garden to the table. And so it's a whole process that not only applies to gardening, but it also can apply to your life. You use those exact same principles of planting, nurturing, mm-hmm. weeding things out, mm-hmm. and then also just seeing things come to fruition.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I have one more question about the garden. Oh, feeding folks. The produce that you guys raise here, I'm sure it's used within the community and donated or eaten, or how does that work?
So the way it works is we're still building that out, but what Pierre has done, he's been reaching out to the local churches, mm-hmm. And then also communities in need. One of the suggestions that I've had, and we're still building this out, is to go into some of the senior living spaces, right? And they just provide fresh produce once, twice a week. And then we even might get into the part of going out to the Urbana Farmers Market at some point, mm-hmm. you know, and just putting produce out there, maybe even selling it so that we can recoup some of those sales to kind of keep mm-hmm. things rolling. Because oftentimes we're just working out of grant funds, and we all know that kind of ebbs and flows.
Sure. So. Now, if someone's watching this and they are inspired and they say, wow, I want to help, what kind of help can the community offer First Followers?
Well, we got a website, firstfollowersreentry.com. You can go in there and read a lot of about what we do. We got a lot of different programs, but here with the gardening program, they can just reach out through email, and we'll connect them with Pierre. And like I said, he's always out in the community trying to recruit, trying to educate, and also just giving back to what he has been, you know, his passion is, just giving it back to the community.
Okay. Is there anything that I did not ask you that you would like to mention or think is important or want people to know?
I mean, this is a community-based project, right? You know, the whole concept of the reentry program, it lays on our motto, says build community through reentry. Mm-hmm. So that's why we do a lot of outreach. That's why we do a lot of advocacy, because, you know, being formerly incarcerated or being impacted by the criminal justice system, there's a stigma attached to that,
sure.
Right? There's a social stigma attached to that. And so what we're trying to do is bring a different narrative to our resources or our services and the things that we do, just put a positive light on, you know, the mistakes that we made in the past.
All right, so now we are with Pierre in the garden. I'm so glad we finally get to catch up and have this conversation. So before we get into your story, tell us a little bit about this garden, how you got involved, and just, you're here every day. This is your passion.
Yes.
Tell me about this garden.
Well, I started this garden back in 23, after my incarceration for 29 years. And I was doing a little garden while I was incarcerated a couple of times. And my grandma, she lived in Michigan, and I picked it up from her. Mm-hmm. Now, I started my own garden and with a program through First Follower, where I came home to, and they gave me the opportunity to help the community in doing the garden. And so I just came out here just and fell in love with it and helping the community. To me, it's all about helping community and healing the community through garden.
Now talk a little bit about, you know, this is your passion, this is your purpose. You said you feel spirit-led when you're out here. How important was this program to your success following incarceration?
Well, I needed to heal from my past, and I had to find my niche, what bring me comfort. And because when I came home, I had a lot of anxiety, and I needed something to calm me down, to have fine patience. And I come out here and by myself sometimes a lot, even at night or whatever, and it brings me peace of mind. And that's how I fell in love doing it. I fell in love because I know the purpose is for the community. Mm-hmm. And it takes a community to build a community, and we are the community. So I want to feed people at no cost and show them that it's good to be able to plant your own vegetables and herbs. It's a financial saving. And if I can teach, we running a program through three different organizations like Dream and Solo Glacius. We finna start gardening out there too. It should be later this week, and I'm teaching men and women 18 to 24 to be able to learn how to garden. And not only that, they'll get paid for doing it. And so if I can teach them to be able to garden and bring stuff to the table to help their family, mm-hmm. and being able, when that hard working mother come home and that person, they can be able to cook for their mother and relieve the burden and talk about what they done planted and grew, that's building a community. Mm-hmm. Reach one, teach one. And then we got some young men out here that's a part of the program. Young men that's not on the street, that me teaching them, and they getting paid for it, and a money saver, that's a win-win.
Now, aside from coming out and getting paid, what are these young men gaining from spending time with you out here in this garden?
First of all, I tell them where I come from, my story, my life, and letting them know they don't have to be in the streets. And it's a better way, because a lot of time we react or as we act on feelings and stuff, and we don't know the cost, the end game of it. Mm-hmm. And so we get lost. So now if I can teach them a different route by what I've been through for 29 years and show them how to plant and help their family, I did my job. I want them to teach them about patience, perseverance, stability, financial saving, dealing with your anxiety, and most of all, building your family as a community, as a young person.
So it's so much more than the actual produce out here. This is life. You're teaching life lessons out in the garden. Tell me a little bit more about how it's grown since you have become part of the program, because it wasn't always this big, right?
No.
You've grown this out.
Yes. In 23, they had 6 boxes. You can see the discoloring of the 6 boxes they had. Just look, a few things, first followers. Now, before I finish, I wanted to just let you know the name of the garden, First Followers Topsoil.
Okay.
We had 6 boxes. Now, last year, I built it out, me and my assistant, to 19 boxes. Now, this year, we have 24 boxes. And I got a little bit of everything in each box squeezed together because it's only so much space here I can work with. But the more I can plant, the more the community I can feed.
Now, and your volunteers, when they come out here, what sorts of jobs do you have them doing?
I have them helping me pick, and just make sure we keep up with the maintenance of it, just to see the beauty of it. And it's free to anyone that want to come out, and you can volunteer as well, whoever.
Now, at the end of the day, you know, because I work in a garden too, you're dirty, you're tired, you're sweaty, your back's hurting, but there's still this big sense of satisfaction at the end of the day. Talk a little bit about that. When you get ready to close up and you pick the weeds and you kind of just look at this space for the last time of the day, what goes through your mind?
Like Ice Cube say, today was a good day. Because I know the sense of purpose now. Now is the time in the season that we need to learn how to grow our own food, because how the politicians, things going on of that nature. So if you can feed yourself at no expense, but getting out and do the work is a process, and me and being able to do that, and then when I'm done, I know that family gonna appreciate me bringing them some food, some vegetables and stuff. So knowing that, that's satisfying to me.
Now, when you hand over that bag of produce and you hand that to somebody's family or you hand that to a senior citizen, what's that like for you?
It just brings a smile to my face when they see it of no cost, knowing it's gonna save them some money. It just brings joy. It's like, it's a feeling that I can't explain, but I can't explain it now because it's so joyous even talking about it.
Now, for these men and women that you guys work with, this is like a critical component of, for some kids, this is their first exposure. They didn't have this growing up. They didn't have, you know, they didn't go to grandma and grandpa's and pick in the garden. So what's that like to come in as their teenagers and maybe after they've already experienced incarceration or issues with the legal system? Do you find it difficult to engage them at that point? Is it harder to reach them because they've already been through some things?
No, you know why? It'd be easier because I tell my story, because I once was them. I had to start off somewhere and I was just like them. But I know what it is to be incarcerated, and it's not only you incarcerated, you incarcerating your family and then even the victims or whoever it is. And so if I can get a gun out of a kid's hand and put a vegetable in his hand, that's win-win. So I get my enjoyment out of it. We got young men here now that want to come off the streets and want to do something different. And just that right there makes me happy to be able to teach them that and get that gun out of their hand and put a vegetable in their hand that is positive.
If you'd like to learn more about First Followers and a little bit more about their organization or what they do, you can visit them online at firstfollowersreentry.com.
That's a wrap on Dialogue this week. Our team includes Kennedy Vincent, Ariel Raveny, Patricia Bradford, and this week's reporting comes from me, Tanisha Spain. The theme was composed by Lamont Holden. Dialogue and Illinois Soul are part of Illinois Public Media, which is a service of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We'll have a dialogue with you again next week.